Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Station. Dirt and Sprague.
Blue Jays have that modified shift against him, the 1-1.
Swing and a drive! Jazz has joined the home run club as he goes second deck, and the Yankees grab a 7-6 lead.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Look back, the 1-1. Raleigh slams one the other way. Deep left center field. Going! It is gone! Home run! Opposite field, left center. Cal Raleigh powers one out. 8-1 Mariners.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, the Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Hump day.
Happy hump day, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
What is happening?
Happy Wednesday. How we doing?
Ready to watch some Blazer preseason basketball tonight. That's how we're doing, man.
I have a conundrum.
Uh-oh. You're going to miss game one?
Well, it's not game one. It's
game one. It all begins tonight.
Preseason.
The journey
game a.
to
it's
a
game
championship
a.
begins yeah. tonight,
game
7
a.
o'clock, Yay area.
Game A.
Be there or be square.
Yeah. I'll miss it.
Who's scoring buckets tonight?
Well, I'll turn it on, but I'm going to be late, so I don't even know who's going to be playing by the time I actually get home.
Knows?
I have basketball practice.
The Blazers
and it's a
were
game.
Picking people up and waving the same dudes yesterday as I was following the press releases.
We're picking them up and putting them down. That's what we're doing yesterday.
I have
it's
no
kind
idea.
Of that time of year.
Filling out the back end of the preseason roster.
Freeman wrote a really good piece on Blake Wesley. And I was like, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to talk to Blake Wesley. And then I thought, what if Blake Wesley got waived and Joe Freeman did this whole nice piece on him? It's got to kind of suck
Dude,
as a writer, right?
I just wrote the piece, man.
I just spent
three hours. Let him have one preseason game where he scores 15
it's
and
like
we can say, look at that.
Doing
good
spring
story.
Training stories. How many spring training stories do you do about guys that don't end up making the roster or get dealt right before the season? Go in the can.
I want to text Free. I'm going to text Freeman this. Like, how many pieces have you written about a player who ended up just being
waived?
And you're like, ah, man, wasted all that time.
Flush that one down the drain. Just go ahead and erase it.
I was going to win a Pulitzer for that one. Damn it.
Nobody's going to read that because he ain't here anymore.
Well, the problem is really like it's yet again another year where we have to have a TV conversation problem.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have that fixed, Tom. Tom, get on that. Once you take over, let's figure this thing out, Tom. My faith is in you.
Well, Tom's currently in legal matters saying, I got enough money, I don't need panda money.
I don't need that panda money, but we'll take the if you want to give me the panda money, I'll take the panda money.
Yeah, I think
but I don't need the panda money, but I'll take the panda money.
I think it's an argument to keep the panda money on his side. It's like, well, we got enough money. I don't need that.
This is just cherry on top. We already got the base layer. We got enough to buy the team. Why not throw in an extra $100 million if you can do it?
Just a local, some local ties that want to further ingratiate themselves into the community.
That's right.
It's been so good to them over the years.
Well, I just feel bad for people who do have, like, other prior engagements that might miss the starts of games, and their only option to watch these games is satellite. You can't record it.
No, you can't go back and watch anything that you missed, which makes it a little challenging.
I don't know what to do here because I just thought about
it.
I didn't think about this until today. Of
nothing you can do.
I think I'm coaching in the winter.
Anytime there's a game that night, what time are you getting home? That's the amount of game that you'll see.
I'm going to have to try to schedule my practices for like 5:30 to
7:30
and just miss a half hour of the game.
Well, at least you got the Peacock games where they got two or three of those where they're playing at 8 o'clock at night, so you can watch those before we all fall asleep at halftime because it's halftime at 10:15.
8 o'clock
at
night.
We're just going to want to go to bed because I got to get up at 4
what's
o'clock in the morning.
What's the slide time, too, from the first, if the first game runs long? What's the slide time?
I mean, it
time?
Should be illegal is what the slide time should
PM.
Be. Jesus.
We're tipping that bad boy off.
No, I think they'd just be like, we're currently airing the Blazer game on Peacock, too.
There you go.
Did what they did yesterday for the Mariner game. Yeah, this thing's going to be on FS2, okay? They've been rained out long enough. We're moving it back. The Yankees are on deck. They're going to be FS1. Mariners, sorry. You could be on the Fox Sports app.
What do you think more known, FS2 or the MLB Network? Because they said the MLB Network
was it on
last.
MLB
it
Network
was on
too?
MLB Network as well. The MLB Network's more known.
Has to be more known, right? Ironically, I don't get the MLB Network. I don't think the MLB Network's on YouTube TV, so it doesn't come with it. But I do get FS2, so I was able to watch the game. It is a bummer that we're still in this spot where we can't figure that out. Like, they, it felt like made a nice hurdle in the right direction of getting rid of Root, which, by the way, RIP Root. We didn't talk about that. The Mariners are now gone, too. Root Sports is gone from our lives forever.
Do we need to talk about it?
No, I just, we never mentioned on the show that that's officially dead now. It is a bummer that they haven't figured out a way to solve their differences with every provider possible.
Well, I more get...
Because Comcast people don't have to deal with this. The Comcast channel's there. If you miss a game, you record it. So if you're still a Comcast person, you could still go back and record the games.
Yeah, but literally everybody else doesn't
Nobody else can do it. Is it on DirecTV?
I don't think the channel is.
The channel's not on DirecTV? I have no clue. I've never had DirecTV.
If there is, then you can correct the record there, text police. But I would say what I'm kind of more annoyed of... I'm kind of more annoyed of it. The noise is always, well, it's somebody else's fault.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
The last TV, it was his Root's fault. Now it's like, oh, it's YouTube TV's fault. And like, it's always somebody else's fault. Instead of just saying, deal wasn't quite what we thought. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Yes.
And you move on.
Yeah.
You don't even need to blame or necessarily take full responsibility. You just say,
no,
this deal was not at all what we thought it would be, because I was told loud and clear by multiple media members in market, this was going to be accessible to everybody, YouTube TV, DirecTV, and here we are year two, and of course, it's everybody else's fault and not in any way the team's.
We had three games, I want to say, air on YouTube TV last year, randomly at the start of the year, at the new year. It was like right in the middle of the season, and they aired a couple of games, and we're like, oh, look at that. They figured it out, and then it just went away. It disappeared.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah,
I remember having to buy an antenna and being like, this is crazy.
Well, that
crazy.
Was because, remember, it was the start of the year. It wasn't on YouTube TV, but then it was reported as something, well, it was just the end of the contract, wasn't up till the end of the calendar
year.
Yeah,
there was a deal or something.
So you had to wait till January 1st, and then January 1st rolled around, and there, I don't remember how many it was, but there was definitely one game that aired, and the channel existed on YouTube TV.
Oh, I kind of remember
this. And then it went away, and
it was like, wait, whoa,
it was right there. I just watched it last night, and now it's back to some Telemundo thing. Like, what happened to the Blazers? Game. Come on, man.
And then for anybody saying, why don't you just get the Rip City stream that, you know, people out of market have to get, I go, yeah, I have people in my life that have that and have told me how terribly inconsistent it is.
The people are saying, by the way, it is on DirecTV. So it is.
I'm not getting DirecTV. So
no,
it
just
doesn't
us.
Really do a lot. Thank you, though. I appreciate correcting the record there.
So it's just us YouTube TV bros that got to deal with this problem.
Well, Dish?
I don't know. Does anybody still have Dish? Does Dish still exist?
I had a buddy that had Dish. I always thought it was weird.
Every time you see a house with an old Dish, I'm like, is that thing still in use? Or is that just somebody put that up there 15 years ago and nobody's taking it down? My last house had a Dish on it.
Yeah, so my house now did, and I finally took it off like a year ago. Yeah,
I wasn't dealing with that. I'm not getting up there. Just leave it up. I don't care.
Really?
Yeah. It's out of commission. It doesn't work anymore. I'm not climbing up out of the roof to do that.
I always wondered how they'd react if I went to their building, their main headquarters, and just started installing stuff and drilling into their building. Would they demand me take it off? Or would I just be like, nah, you got to figure that out.
Just drill that into the drywall. Here, you guys want this sign here on your wall? I'm going to go ahead and put this on your property.
Is that not bizarre to anybody else that these satellites get installed into your house, and then when you don't have it and you have no real like want to ever get it again,
they don't come get that thing off
no
the roof.
They're like, well, you figure it out, dude.
It's on,
like, what,
that's on you, dude. That's not our property anymore. What do you mean it's not your property
you put
anymore?
Holes in my house
now. I got to patch a hole in my roof. It's part of the reason I didn't want to take it out. Now I got big screw holes in my roof. I might as well just leave it on.
I fill them with the like see-through filling, but like,
you got the putty,
you got the putty,
like,
up
the
there on the roof
putty. But it's like, they're, well, it's on the side, but I'm just like, it looks so bizarre. There's just four massive screw holes.
Fill those things up, dude.
I did.
Come on.
But it looks awful. It's terrible.
I don't think anybody has. That's my hot take in the morning. I don't think anybody still has Dish. I think Dish is dead.
Dish is not dead.
I think Dish is dead. It's a fake business that doesn't exist anymore. It's a front for the cartels. I'm not buying it.
Really? Yeah. No, it's still alive. I'm,
I mean, I know it's still
right
alive.
Now.
I know technically, quote unquote, still alive. Nobody has Dish.
Okay.
DirecTV is a thing. I know a lot of people that still have Comcast. Many people have fled to streaming providers, us included, YouTube TV or others.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nobody other that's got Dish.
Well, my thing is, like, whether it's YouTube TV's fault or not.
1997? You're still on Dish? Come Come on, man.
I mean,
there's no way.
What's the difference between DirecTV and Dish?
I mean, at least DirecTV for a while had Sunday Ticket. They don't have that anymore, but at least that was the argument you could make of like, I got DirecTV for the Sunday Ticket.
That's why I got it originally.
See?
You had DirecTV.
Told you. That was the selling point.
I had one of the original. God, this was up in when I was still living in the Seattle area. One of the very first sat when you could buy the actual dish and the equipment yourself and own it from RCA. Installed that bad boy myself.
Screwed that thing into your roof.
Put some big cable boxes used to be when
cable boxes used to be so massive.
Dude, in college, we used to go get, because I was like, I'm getting cable, so I would work it out with my roommates.
Like a 5x5.
It was massive. I'd have to go to the Comcast building in Corvallis and pick it up, and I'd come out there and like,
it's like getting a VCR back.
It really was.
It was hard to find a TV stand that had a slot big enough just to put the cable box. That was always a difficult challenge.
We just kept ours on the floor.
Just leave it on the floor. Yeah, it's kind of the way to do it in college.
We were gonna have an entertainment center. It was like one little stand for the TV and the things on the ground,
mattress on the floor, fold up chairs. You'd be good to go.
Poll question up: does anybody still have Dish as a TV provider? Yes or no?
Not a Dish on your roof. Dish on your roof does not count.
Dish as a TV provider.
I'm giving the qualifiers. I don't want somebody to be like, "Yeah, I still got a Dish on my roof, but I haven't used it in 10 years.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put the qualifier out there for anybody listening right now that's not confused about the poll question later.
We are Oscar Robertson amount of days away from the Trailblazers tipping off the regular season.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
Top 10 all time.
Now, here's the weird thing about his career. He was number 14 for 10 seasons as a Cincinnati Royal. He was number one for 3 seasons with the Bucks when he won a title. Now, there's only one other option for this number. And it's not Eduardo Nájera.
Are you sure about that?
It's not Chris Dudley.
Are you sure about that?
In 0203 as a Blazer.
I mean, maybe it should be.
Missing free throws.
Was almost our governor, man. Show some respect.
It is Bob. Hey, that looks like a cold drink. You look like you need a koozie.
The plumber himself?
The plumber himself.
Yeah. The janitor himself?
The janitor himself.
The same number?
You chose right. He's probably
there.
Second, but if you comp the careers outside of being Hall of Fame and titles, Robertson's career.
Oh, it's not even
koozies.
Yeah, it's not even close. You put that guy on Boston, like that's the whole analogy. Like, put him on a better team. How many titles
well,
does he win?
Just swap them.
Yeah, just swap them in the middle of their careers.
Yeah, Boston's like, not. Boston's still winning.
Boston's
all
better is what they are. They're
still winning. I don't. All that
how can you be better? You're winning every title.
Saying,
can you really be better if you're still winning every title?
Did they ever lose a game in the finals? Because I don't think they lose a game in the finals.
Here's a question I had thinking about this, because I really did give it consideration, and then I pulled up the old resume. I went, well, this isn't a contest anymore, so let's give it to the Big O. What would Bob Cousy prime, like fourth, fifth year as a professional basketball player? I take that guy in a time portal. I put him in the DeLorean. I bring him to modern day times.
He is signed with the Portland Trailblazers.
And I say, you have to play one-on-one at a local gym in Portland, Oregon, USA, Bob Cousy. And he goes, well, bring it all, man. And I put him in there, and I bring in another number 14 of 2025, Tyler Hero. How bad is Tyler Hero beating Bob Cousy in one-on-one basketball? Yeah.
Very bad.
Very badly.
Very badly.
Very bad.
It's not even close. How big was Bob Cousy?
6'1", I want to say.
So he was a tiny guy, too. It wasn't like he had size on his side.
No, I think back then that was a pretty normal height.
Well, touche. Yeah, back in the day, that was pretty normal for guys.
Yeah. Dude, look, all respect to Bob Cousy. Just looking at the Google image results makes me go, I wonder if I could have beat Bob Cousy.
There's no chance this guy
He has no muscle on his body.
6'1", no. 175 is what he was listed.
175
that's
is
your
lie.
Size.
That's your size.
That's
a lie. I'm telling you, I'm looking at this cat. That's not 175.
6'1", 175.
That guy's 142 pounds at 6'1".
It's round down, ballpark at 150. 6'1", 150. There's no chance.
I'm bowling Bob Cousy in the
yes,
post.
Yes, you would take him down on the block.
I got 20 pounds on this cat.
And he would not have a
He's
chance to stop
cowboying him
you.
Right there,
Dude,
baby.
I hit him with a dream shake. He wouldn't know what hit him.
Clear it out. Clear it out. Give me the ball.
He wouldn't know how to shoot from further than 5 feet away from the hoop, man.
You dribbling with one hand?
What? You
yes,
can do
I
that?
Am.
You went between your legs.
That's possible?
What is this wizardry?
God, look at us just crapping all over the old generation.
I mean, I'm okay. Well,
you
doing
were doing it,
it
last night, yeah, so.
What do you mean?
I mean, that's valid. He's the most overrated athlete in the history of sports.
I don't know what you speak of. Those are text conversations. Those are not for public air.
I'll bring that to public air. He's the most overrated fat-ass athlete in the history of professional sports.
Okay.
Played when there were 4 teams and no black people and hit very far home runs against 68-mile-an-hour fastballs. Let's act like he's the greatest of all time. The Sultan, the Swat.
Get out of here,
the colossal of cloud.
Look, I'm not a big Adam Ottavino guy. That is the best thing that Adam Ottavino ever did in his career. Was like, there's no chance Babe Ruth could touch my 96 mile an hour two seam fastball.
I mean, he's not wrong.
There is zero chance. I would strike him out on three pitches, and he would sit down and go eat another hot dog.
You imagine his reaction to facing Mason Miller.
With movement. That's 40 miles an hour faster than anything he ever saw. They didn't even have radar guns back then.
Oh, my God.
Thinking of Bob Cousy, 6'1", 150, that's what the pitchers were back then. How hard were they throwing? 72 miles an hour. He throws the fastest ball ever seen.
He's got quite a heater. 73 miles an hour.
Get out of here with this nonsense, dude. Transplant any of these guys back then and they're Babe Ruth. It's so stupid.
I would love to watch Mason Miller versus Babe Ruth and Tyler Herro against Bob Cousy.
That swing would come so late, it would be comical.
Really?
Like, it would be ball in the glove, you hear the pop, swing.
Not a chance he could ever catch up.
What was that? You can do that? Was that legal? I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Get out of here, Babe Ruth. All right, well, we got a loaded show today. Let's get it going. We will start the radio program today because we got Lucy Burge on at 9 a.m., the Queen of Dongs. Her guy, Schlittler, on the mound tonight.
Yeah.
Kind of lining up for us as a show.
We need her to send some tweets, get in his head a little bit. Go Blue Jays. Get the Yankees out of here.
But we will start with...
Baseball stuff!
Baseball stuff!
Next on 105.1, The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. We've got some college football coaching conversation. One road coach saying, people only care about your game because I'm coming to town.
Ooh.
We got another coach saying, yeah, well, if you played our schedule, I don't know how you'd do either. And I have a legitimate question to ask is how a season is going for another coach going in any way impact the way we think, or are we just going to give absolute freebies to people who continue to coach, but we say, well, he's old, so it doesn't matter.
Pete Carroll, is that what we're talking about?
I mean, man, he could be in that, but not Pete Carroll. I'd argue somebody having a worse season than Pete Carroll.
Somebody is definitely having a worse season than Pete Carroll.
So Mariners get a win last night.
They did.
How about that?
Nice little dub.
Really a no-doubter.
Yeah, ninth inning got a little squirrely there for a minute. They, you know, kind of happens. And then they turned a double play, and you're like, all right. It was a line drive to Naylor, and he tagged it out. And they were, okay, ball game. There you go.
We did have the big dumper finally go yard in the postseason.
Look back, the 1-1. Raleigh slams one the other way. Deep left center field. Going! It is gone! Home run! Opposite field, left center. Cal Raleigh powers one out. 8-1 Mariners.
And now the M's with that win are a game away from the LCS, somewhere they haven't been since 2001.
It's a long time ago, Bob.
It is.
That was a very long time ago. The highlight of the postseason so far has been Cal Raleigh hitting a home run to a guy wearing a Dump 61 Here t-shirt. That is one of the coolest highlights that I've ever
one
seen.
One hopper off the bullpen
one hopper
mound.
Directly into that guy's lap. Arms go up, and you're like, what is his shirt saying? Yeah. Dump 60. Oh, my God. He hit it to that guy? Of all the people you get a home run to?
He met up with them after the game.
He
and
did.
Gave
he gave him
a bat.
That was awesome. That was the first moment I thought, this could be a team of destiny. Like, if you're hitting home runs like that in the playoffs to Dump 61 here,
and underneath
we might have
that
a team
shirt,
of destiny.
He had to hit it. Dump here 62 shirt
just
ready
in case.
To go.
Just it. Now he's ready for today's game. Now you can dump 62 there. Yeah, that game was pretty boring. I mean, if you're a Mariner fan, you love it.
Well, you
it.
Had to wait out a 3-hour rain delay.
Yeah, I ended up watching some hockey in the middle of the afternoon, which was nice. And then the game started, jumped on him early, never really a doubt. Gilbert was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the whole pressure thing, who knows, because they're undefeated against Scooball this year. But I would just say I think you'd love to lock it up today. I think you'd love to avoid having to face him
home,
for a game five. And it is at home, and they have beaten him every time they played him. So you feel good if that is the case. So pressure's not the right word. But just when you got a team down, you got the boot on the neck, you want to make sure you finish
I think that game two win, now they're just – like I said, I don't think the rain delay bugged them. I think they're just hanging out and they're just playing baseball. And
Detroit's offense is just...
I mean, can we be honest about it? Detroit's offense needs you. It's not encouraged. No.
And the good thing yesterday was the rest of the team got involved in the offense.
Everybody was dealing
with it. Once they went up 4-0, you're just like, this game's over. Yeah. Detroit's not scoring five runs in this game. If Detroit wins, it's 2-1, 3-2, 1-0.
Yeah.
That's how they win games.
You could tell when that first run scored, when the cutoff guy didn't cut off the baseball, and they were just, they're tight.
What was he doing there?
I have no idea.
That was so idiotic. And it was just like instantly like, okay, this team's better than that team. Now, I don't maybe they won't win the series. I don't know. But I would go in today, even with Scooball on the bump, and be like, he can go 8 innings, give up one run. We might win 1-0.
He very well could.
That Detroit, like, I've told you guys I'm going to go in and learn about baseball in the postseason. Yeah.
Detroit sucks to watch. Is that
so
your
far, when I've watched Detroit, all I'm thinking is, like, none of these guys scare me at all.
No, not really.
Carpenter takes, he takes them deep every time. Like, okay.
Javi Baez was good a decade ago. Gleyber Torres has had a good career.
Baez is hitting like 8th or 9th in that lineup.
He's hitting like
Torres,
220,
The main thing is they just can't start walking guys. You can't bring dudes in that, like, that's how they got their offense going.
In the ninth inning, they just kept walking guys.
Dudes. They brought Ferguson in with a 7-run lead, trying to give him a little confidence. And
is
that
there
backfired.
Anything worse as a sports fan than a big lead and you bring in a relief pitcher and they just start walking people?
Now you know my pain.
Oh, God. Your pain? Your championship pain? Your 2-0 series lead pain? No, we're not doing this again. We're not doing this again. Stop it.
It worked last year.
Turn
your mic off. Just sit the rest of the segment out, okay? Tap out. You're in the penalty box.
Because the Mariners, with their bullpen having a little bit of a problem, is the same as
your team. The Mariners haven't been to an LCS in 25 years. Payne, you won the World Series last year.
Yeah, I think you need to.
Stop it.
In the other game, because that game sucked, but the Mariners are on the brink. We'll get into that kind of the back end of the show. Congratulations, Mariner fans.
They could punch their ticket to the ALCS today.
We had the other game go on at roughly the same time. It was the Blue Jays against the Yanks. The Blue Jays got out on a leap.
Thought it was over.
Really?
6-1? I thought they knocked out Rodon in the third inning. It's like, okay, they're just going to keep rolling.
It just doesn't feel the same because Detroit doesn't have the lineup the Yankees have. So, like, I didn't completely dismiss it. And then they come up. There's a pop fly that I don't know how he doesn't catch that.
Yeah, the third baseman boots it.
It's, what was his name? Garbage?
Garger? I don't know.
Barger.
Gargle?
Gargle?
Barger.
Gargled that ball away.
Why is the left fielder coming in and calling him off? That was halfway out in the outfield.
I have no idea what was happening
that was
in that sequence.
Bad play all around.
That leads to two runners on. Aaron Judge comes up, down 6-3, and...
The one-out 0-2 pitch from Varland to Judge. Swings and sends one down the line and left. That is off the pole. A 3-run home run to tie the game.
I thought it was a good point by Smoltzy of, like, every other year of that guy's career, it's 4 inches the other way and it's not a home run.
Yeah.
And he finally hit it and it's dead center of the foul pole. But, you know, he's interesting, man. His numbers are not awful, but in terms of moments, this felt like his first real big playoff moment.
Yeah, and I'm sure Yankee fan will be like, you forgot game 2 of the DS from 4 years ago when he went 4-for-4.
Him and everybody in the building reacting the way they did told me what I just said is accurate.
He looked shocked when he hit it. He's been so bad in the playoffs. When he hit that, he was like, wait a minute, did I actually do something good? And then it hit off the foul pole, and you're like, all right, we got ourselves a new ball game here in New York.
Now, the Chizzer ended up having the go-ahead home run, old Jazz, and I thought, you know what's funny is Keith Van Horn never had a moment this big, so the answer to our poll question a week ago...
Are you sure about that? I'm going to go check tape.
Find a playoff game where Keith Van
Horn... That's an NBA Finals appearance, Keith Van Horn. Probably hit a game winner.
I don't think he's actually on the Nets team that went to the Finals.
He probably was.
I think that was
a different
Nets era. He was with Marbury.
Long socks. He had long socks.
Okay. Well, anyways, the point is the Yankees win, and I love the whole narrative. The pressure. I'm like, okay, so it's 2-1. It's 2-1 right now. We'll see if they can tie the series. They've got the Schlittler on the mound tonight. I love that we've just banked he's going to be completely awesome again, as if he wasn't in the Double-A at the start of the year, and baseball hasn't been weird ever before in its history. The funny thing about Aaron Judge, the last note I would say, I saw the stat that Aaron Judge already was, but with that home run, is now 2 homers in the postseason ahead of Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
And I kind of just laughed at that because this guy is known as a choke artist by many that aren't Yankee fan, But he's got more homers in the postseason career-wise than Ruth.
I'd be curious to view, because like Swag brought up a good point. We were texting about this last night. One, Babe Ruth is an overrated old fat ass. But number two, they didn't used to have play. There was no playoffs.
It was one series.
You just played.
Yeah,
the
I don't
World
even
series.
Know when the league championship series came in. Like I want to say in the 70s.
Yeah, it was.
That was
late.
The first time they had an actual round before the World Series. Before that, it was just whoever won each league.
It's all over. The Yankees that won the pennant.
Here is. I'll look this up. So 41 for Babe Ruth.
Okay. 41.
41. What?
Playoff games, quote unquote. So that's how many.
I think
played.
He had 15 home runs in his 41
Aaron Judge
games?
Has played in 63 postseason games.
Yeah.
So.
And he's only two ahead. He's
yeah, when they
ahead.
Showed
Who's
the...
more overrated?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Aaron Judge. Fraudulent.
Every
Mr.
Time
Disappear
I see
in October.
That, most this in postseason history.
Yeah, you can't
I just
comp the numbers.
Laugh at the only stats that are true either in the in each round itself, so you can compare. Or World Series stats alone.
Yeah, seven-game series will always be, and so whoever has good series or three home run games and that kind
of
stuff.
Kike Hernandez is in one of the top postseason home runs. He's like fifth or something.
So when Ruth isn't number one, it's not his fault, but when he is number one, he's the best.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm... Ruth, when he's like, oh, he's the home run gang.
He is still overrated. That doesn't change. But this one's not necessarily his fault. By the way, Aaron Judge in his career, 63 games, is a career .223 hitter in the postseason.
And that's hitting, what, close to .500 so far this series?
Right. No, this is his best series.
I mean, he's having a good run so far. He's been awesome. Guerrero has been the story of the series, hit another dang, like he's just been a man
top
on fire.
Yeah.
So he's been a lot of fun. That one, though, I think is going to burn the knot. I mean, you had a lead, and then it largely was started because a third baseman couldn't catch a pop-up.
Yep.
And that's
that
just
going to hurt. And the Blue Jays have to, I guess they got a bullpen game today. They don't have a fourth starter.
And so all of a sudden, some of the momentum
might be
swings
going back to
the
Toronto.
Other way. Yeah.
I'm a known Yankee hater. Diving catch the following top half of the inning. Unnecessary. He's 6'8". Take another step. You wanted to dive. And I say that as somebody who in beer league softball routinely dove for balls that you didn't need to dive
the
for.
Fake dive is the best thing to do
it's
in
great.
All the sports.
It makes you look so cool.
You look like a badass.
You do. You
and
roll
you
out.
And you feel like a badass. It doesn't even matter how you look. It's about how you feel. You feel good.
Now, I had a couple I had to dive for, but there were a few Dirt called it out. It's like, you didn't need to dive for that. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
I mean, it was right there. It was kind of around my knees. But, you know, if I'm reaching down, I might as well go down on the ground.
Judge taking two steps forward at 6'7" would cover half the outfield. And instead, he's like, I'm going to dive. Just so he could get the MVP again.
Well, congrats to him on not dropping a fly ball to lead to a rally for the Blue Jays to lose him the game last night. He's got that going for him.
Did he do that once?
He did that once, yeah. In a
Where
World
was
Series.
It?
I think it was on a World Series game.
Who was it against?
It was against the Dodgers.
Oh.
But for some reason, Dodger fans keep complaining. I'm very confused.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Very strange.
Major League Baseball, it rolls on.
Last day with four games.
Correct.
Because then if you,
after this, they'll
then
no
you rotate
more,
back and forth,
no
or teams are eliminated and all that. So this is it. It's your last day of a full day of baseball until April.
Well, we'll pause on the baseball. We'll get back to it at the back end of the show. Coming up next, the redemption stories are good. Is there one that's your favorite? You know, oftentimes we as sports fans, we love great redemption stories. Even of the most questionable people amongst us that have truly horrific things tied to their name, they come back and you're like, man.
Michael Vick.
Yeah. It's a weird thing with the dogs. And if you love dogs, it's all weird. But then, like, he goes to prison, so he serves his time. And then he comes back, becomes an advocate, and then has debatably his best season ever when he was with Andy Reid as an Eagle. Redemption stories in sports make us fall in love all over again every time. And you know what backup quarterbacks or quarterbacks that normally start out really well have time for?
We don't have time for the poor me's. We don't have time for the woe was us.
No, they don't. They have to move on. They have to move forward. And I would argue this year, you think about the NFL, for example.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, good year, just lost. Lamar Jackson, banged up, team's awful. Joe Burrow, out for maybe the whole year. Mahomes is 2-3. The usual suspects, the top four. Herbert, on a little bit of a slide right now. Again, not all these things are their faults, but teams not having quite what we thought they would success-wise. They're there, but I would argue the story of the NFL at that position is the redemption stories.
I mean, I think it's been one of the biggest storylines around that position for a number of years now. This has become a trend in the NFL where guys are not good in their first stop. They're given up on by their organization. Some of them bounce around to multiple teams, and then they find the right home and the right fit in the right situation. And we learn our lesson every time of, yeah, we probably shouldn't have counted that out.
I don't think you're wrong, but I would just argue all the quarterbacks I just listed who are the usual top talked about quarterbacks, they're either not playing or their teams just lost or their teams are surprisingly struggling or they're not lighting it up even.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's the case right now.
In a way, like, it's not that we forget about those guys. They're still in the top tier. It's that they're more to the side with us knowing they're there while saying, oh my God, Trevor Lawrence and the Jags are 4-1.
They are.
Holy crap. Is Daniel Jones actually really good when his coach and the talent is good?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sam Darnold, what a hell of a game you just had in Seattle at home against one of the best NFC teams who is coincidentally quarterbacked by a guy that he played with in Carolina and was 1-4 as a Panthers quarterback and now might be the best quarterback in the NFC.
One of the best redemption stories we've seen in a long time.
Hell, take the guy in Dallas who we routinely make fun of because his owner is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
He's having an MVP season. To me as a football fan, I know these stories are always kind of there, but I think when Allen loses to Drake May and the Patriots, when Lamar is out, when Burrow is out, and the Chiefs are 2-3, It kind of just brings it more to the forefront than it already was. And so I think the redemption quarterback story, many may not buy it as a Super Bowl championship story. I find it to be great. I would even argue Jalen Hurts, who just won his first Super Bowl, he is a little bit of this. He was benched in the half of a national championship game.
Mm-hmm.
We all wrote him off. He went to Oklahoma. We said, no way. He had a Heisman-like year. Goes to the NFL, no way, becomes a starter, meh, wins a Super Bowl. And now it pisses dirt off routinely every week that he's brought up in a conversation. But it's still a great redemption story, no matter how you feel about it.
No doubt about it. He's one of the great ones. Baker Mayfield is a prime example of this. He's a guy who had to bounce around to multiple teams. Sam Darnold has proven it, I think, so far early in this year. A lot of questions were asked in the offseason about, did they downgrade at quarterback? Why would Seattle move on from Geno Smith? There wasn't that big of a difference in the financial offer. And Sam Darnold has done nothing but deliver for them early. Like, I don't know what the ceiling is on them as a team and him as a quarterback, but he has not been their problem so far this year. After a bit of a sluggish start to week one, their offense has been solid, and he was fantastic this past weekend against Tampa. You can make an argument the three best quarterbacks in the league so far this year have been Stafford. That's not a surprise. Dak, that probably is a surprise considering the injuries and the season that he's coming off of.
No CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah. And Baker Mayfield. I mean, that's two of those guys are guys you look at. Dak, we've kind of given up on, and he's again reminding us of like, nah, man, when I'm healthy, I'm pretty good. I'll put up numbers. You might not trust me in the playoffs, but the regular season numbers will be there. And then you have this whole batch of other guys who just nobody gave a chance to, who have gone on to have really good seasons. And I say this every offseason, we're all guilty of it, myself included, of trying to play the game of we shouldn't just count it out. But we often do, right, when guys are signed. Daniel Jones is the great example of this. Nobody gave this a chance at working out. And I don't know where they're going to go the rest of the year. They've played 5 games. There is a long ways to go until we get to the playoffs and the end of the season. And I don't know how this all ends for the Colts. But so far, it has been very good. He's completing over 70% of his passes. The touchdown numbers don't jump off the board, but he's not turning the ball over. He's using his legs. And most importantly, they're winning football games. And so it is a reminder that I think I need to like write down in Sharpie going forward of like next July and August when there is a given up on quarterback trying out for a new team to not just do the poo-poo like, ah, no chance this works out, because we've had so many examples now of guys who have looked terrible. Sam Darnold was as bad as you could possibly be for the Jets. He saw ghosts on national television.
Yeah.
That's how bad it was. It was ugly. He couldn't do anything. They gave up on him, and I would argue rightfully so based on the way that he played. He bounced around, went to Carolina, couldn't even really start there, went to San Francisco, was a backup. Like, this is a long journey to get to this point. Has one season in Minnesota where it's, ah, man, yeah, but you're playing with Justin Jefferson and the best offensive-minded head coach.
We didn't want to give him any credit.
Of course you're going to be successful. Anybody could do
right,
it.
Right.
And now he's in Seattle with a different OC, a different system, different weapons. And I don't know if he's a top 10 quarterback, top 7 quarterback, but he's playing at a really high level. So we all need to write it down in Sharpie and remember, whoever that guy is next year that's on a new team, and we're talking about them in training camp, to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, let's add one more quarterback to it, because he's not going to be the routine starter. I don't even know if he's going to start this weekend. Mac Jones had himself
that could be the guy
a moment. Like, that's another guy.
Did Mac he Jones sign a multi-year deal with, no, or is he just on a one-year deal?
I think it's a one-year deal.
I think they do, just like with Darnold, they do a one-year deal with these guys.
Because with backups and Shanahan, it's like, I need you to be a competent guy, but I'm not going to make a controversy.
Let's see if it's a one- or two-year deal.
Maybe it is a two-year deal.
Well, it might not be guaranteed.
Yeah, two-year deal.
Is that a player option?
Not a player option, no. Okay. They can get out of it after 2 years. So he's under contract for another year. But that becomes a guy who might be traded for an opportunity to play. Because I know the quarterback controversy stuff will be there. He's not going to be their starter long term, but somebody might be willing to give him a third round pick for Mac Jones.
Maybe.
If he keeps this up.
I'd argue if he keeps playing, and we'll see if Purdy plays or he plays, and it's at Tampa, that's going to be tough. But like if he plays and he does well again, why would they trade him? It would make no sense for them with Purdy if he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, knowing that the foot injury and the shoulder injury and everything Purdy's dealing with, you kind of want that insurance policy.
Yeah.
He's been really good when they've called on him.
Well, there was a trade yesterday at that position, and the way it was told to me, because I'm not on the internet when I'm off the show, was almost as if it was like a massive franchise quarterback trade. And I kind of want to talk about that because I heard it and I went,
that's...
Is there more?
Is it elder abuse to do this?
Well, also, why him? I want to talk about that. So we'll continue on with the quarterbacks. Who is your favorite redemption story in the NFL quarterback conversation so far?
Somebody texted him Marv year. Albert.
God.
Okay. Rose from the ashes.
Yes! Yes!
Spectacular panties! In my mouth!
And the foul!
The pantyhose! One of the greatest all-time redemption stories. We all counted out Marv after that. He proved us wrong.
Dude likes to get kinky. Why we kink shame Marv Albert? I don't know.
Rex Ryan did this with feet.
He leans into it, though.
He does,
Marv's not on the broadcast like, oh, look at the pantyhose on her! I wish I could wear them!
Barking at ladies in the second row. Marv, calm down, dude. Come on. Come on.
Did you just bite my shoulder, Marv?
Marv, dude.
Who is your favorite quarterback redemption story? We'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, this will be fun. My show sheet just got deleted. Need to start writing these by hand.
Yeah, why don't you go Word document instead of email? That's how I do it. But the tough part is sometimes I forget to save it.
I have a draft in my email, and that's my show
that's
sheet.
That's your way to do it.
Now our email, we have these protections. You got to log in, and then it buzzes to your phone, and you have to click accept. It's not been sending all week, and now it logged me out automatically, and I can't get in.
It's all right. We got a tech guy. Don't worry. Your tech guy will be here.
I think the tech
guy's
in the hot tub with Coug Ludes and Hood River.
They're hanging out in Hood
I think
River
we're the
right
only
now.
Ones that weren't going to Hood River.
We're
going
to take the
point.
Tech people to Hood River to drink some cider and have some fun over there.
You know, coincidentally, bobbing for apples is the grossest game ever created.
I've never bobbed for apples before.
You never did it once as a kid, huh?
Never did it. And I don't really have a desire to do it.
No, that was big back in the day.
Sometimes you do it to yourself.
Sometimes. It's been every day this week.
You walk right into it there.
Yeah.
Because technology didn't exist.
Horses weren't available.
Not that day.
Jump off the buggy.
An apple! You got any wood barrels?
Bite into this thing, man. I got in trouble once at daycare for not playing bobbing apples.
Because it was too gross, you didn't want to do it?
I thought it was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen. I was 8 years old, and they were like, all right, we're going to bob for apples. So I'm like, what? They put apples in a bucket with some water, and all these kids are just like, trying to bob and pick up an apple. And I'm like, so we put our faces in water and swallow the water while trying to bite apples? And they're like, yeah, you got to get as many as you can. And I'm like, I'm not playing. That's disgusting.
I'm not doing that.
I literally was like, that's disgusting. I'm not playing. And like, Brandon, you have to play.
You got
to
play the game.
And I'm like, I'm not playing.
I don't want to do it.
So they sent me in the corner and I had to do that awkward kid thing where you stand with your face in a corner.
Oh, yeah, the corner. You had to face the corner timeout. That's always an intimidating
timeout. Boy,
think of
that nowadays. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen, baby.
Really?
Can't do that to kids anymore?
I would argue it's like the easiest punishment I suffered as a kid. I used to get my ass whooped.
I'm trying to teach Teddy Ballgame about timeout. The tough part is usually he says yes to it. You want to go in timeout? Yeah! damn it, you're not supposed to say yes.
It's because he wants to be alone with his hand in his diaper.
The lesson's not being learned right now, but I'm going to put you in your crib anyways.
You're so screwed. We talked when you left yesterday. Like, when you have your second kid,
it's going to break you.
I think it's going to break you. The minute I disagree with the dirty pole, you're just going to scream and rip my throat out.
Break my microphone and slam a computer on the ground and walk out the door. So is it worth it anymore?
You'll be back.
I'll be back.
I'm just flabbergasted. Jeff Russ comes out of the studio yesterday
during news.
The firm, and he goes, guys, got an NFL trade. Okay.
Okay, give us the trade. What is it? Very excited to hear.
Browns traded Joe Flacco to the Bengals.
What?
And I went, is there more? And he really? Just looked at me and went, no. And I was like,
who cares?
Okay, thanks.
So they traded a bad quarterback for a bad quarterback that's older?
Yeah. Why would they not go get Winston?
I don't know. I don't think Winston changes anything for him, but he's more entertaining, and I'd rather have him than Flacco.
You think Jamar Chase is more excited to have Jameis Winston, who he knows will throw into a triple team to him, yeah, or Joe Flacco, who's going to check down to Samaje Perine for half the game?
Have we watched Cincinnati's offensive line this year? They're awful.
Yeah.
All I could think of was
at least Browning can move around.
Well, he's throwing interceptions. That's the problem.
Well, he's been awful. That too.
He's been terrible.
What is Ben Stiller's character's name in Happy Gilmore?
Oh, Hal.
Hal. That's
I think
all.
It's Hal.
That's what I was thinking when this trade went down. Of like somehow there's a Hal involved in this. Of like you're going to start raking up leaves now, Joe Flacco. Like making him play behind that offensive line is elder abuse, and they should be investigated. He's going to snap in half, and it's not going to change anything for them.
This was a trade that they made to say they made a trade. It wasn't a trade that they said this is going to take us to another level in the AFC North.
No.
Come on, man. What are we doing?
Yeah, you're moving chairs on the Titanic here. Their whole hope was to try and hold serve. They're on the road in Green Bay this weekend. Ironically, Joe Flacco does have a win over Green Bay this year, so maybe he does it again this weekend. I don't know how many more weeks Joe Burrow is going to be out. We'll see how the rest goes. Their next two games are against the Steelers and the Packers, and I'm not picking Cincinnati to win either of those games. They have been blown out by double digits in three consecutive games. Minnesota killed them, Denver killed them, and then Detroit put up nearly 40 on them. Their defense is still bad. Their offensive line is not good, and Joe Flacco does not fix any of those issues. If I were them, I would be going the other direction, and that is
lean into the
hey,
tank.
We got a pretty good defensive lineman who's on an expiring deal because we were too cheap to sign him to a long-term.
You're selling off.
I would absolutely
Hendrickson,
sell.
Hendrickson, Higgins.
What could you get for him right now? Who's desperate for a defensive lineman? Half the NFL
Half
who's competing?
Half the NFL, yeah. Dallas would want him.
Yeah, they need one.
49ers need
49ers
some
could use one. The Chargers just traded for an edge rusher yesterday because their edge rushers hurt too. They could use him. Who's got a second-round pick? Let's make a deal.
Niners got Trey Hendrickson. Put me in timeout with a diaper. I'll gladly sign up for that, but I won't be in the back end of my diaper. Yeah, let's go to break. I don't know why I said that.
That was a little weird.
I get really excited was my point.
That's the point you were trying to convey, that you would be very happy. That's what you were trying to say.
I was wearing a diaper.
You weren't a diaper? What are you into?
I was trying to tie it back.
You put a binky in at night with the wife when you get kinky? What's going on over there? Mommy.
All right, we need to go to the second hour.
I don't know what that was. That's weird.
Speaking of weird, random things, how about the Dirty Poll on a Wednesday? Dirt's got his updated top 12 of college football. We'll get to that loaded second hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.